Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. And the gospel reading is set in the context of the Jewish festival of Passover. Now, the Passover was one of the holiest feast days of the Jewish faith. Faithful pilgrims would flock to the temple from all over the Mediterranean to celebrate Passover, making their sacrifices to God and paying half a shekel temple tax. And John says, "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Now, I wish to invite our reflection on this simple request to ask, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Why do you think Greeks wish to see Jesus? I would like to suggest two reasons. The first reason is, curiosity. Note how these Greeks zeroed in on Philip. Most likely because he had a Greek surname and was from Bethsaida, a fishing village of Galilee where there are many Greek descendants. Although we're not told why these Greeks wanted to see Jesus, I would assume that they have heard about him, about his teachings, and about his miracles, and they wanted to meet him face to face. There was no ground to assume that they wanted to be disciples. More likely than not, they were just simply curious. The second reason for seeing Jesus for the Greeks, I would suggest, would be found in the perplexing answer of Jesus to Philip, who relayed the request of the Greeks to see him. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The glory referred to here by Jesus is his true nature. That is to say, the time has come for Jesus to be shown for what he was and what he was all about. But Jesus talked about himself and his mission in a metaphor. He talked about planting seeds. By the seeds dying, one get many more. "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Then he talked about a person who loves his life, who wants to live for himself, always getting his way, and said that this person will destroy it. The only way a person can have life is by giving it up. Those who love their life, he says, lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. What then is the implication of the gospel reading to us? What does it mean to us to see Jesus, as suggested by the metaphor that he used to answer to the request of the Greeks? What this means is that to see Jesus is not simply to look at him as a historical figure. It means seeing Jesus as one crucified for the sins of the world in order to offer salvation to all by drawing all people to himself. So Jesus is the signpost pointing us to God and to a life of self-surrender and love and service to others like a grain of wheat. He is the promise of our deliverance from sin and death and a new life bearing much fruit for others. So Jesus himself unfolded the meaning of the metaphor when he voluntarily surrendered his life in obedience to God. In doing so, he not only defeated the powers of sin and death, but was raised from the dead as the first fruits of eternal life. To see Jesus then or now is to see him crucified for the sins of the world, and in response, to open our own lives for the sake of others. In simple terms, I would like to ask this question. Where do you think we find Jesus' presence today? How can we be in Jesus' presence? How can we be Jesus' presence to others today? Where do we see Jesus? I have a little story to illustrate this point. A woman received a phone call that her daughter was very sick with fever. So she left work and stopped by the pharmacy for some medication for her daughter. Now returning to her car, she found out that she had locked her keys inside. She had to get home to her sick daughter and didn't know what to do. So she called home to the babysitter and was told that her daughter was getting worse. So she asked the babysitter, "What shall I do? I'm locked out. My keys are inside the car." And the babysitter said, "Oh, I think you might try to find a coat hanger around there and use that to open the door." And as if by a fortunate cue, the woman found an old rusty coat hanger on the ground. She looked at heaven and looked at the hanger and said, "Thank God, but I don't know how to use this." So she bowed her head again and asked God for help. "God, if you are there, send someone to help me as a sign of your presence." Then an old rusty car pulled up, driven by a dirty, bearded man with a biker's skull rug on his head. The woman thought, "Great God, this is what you sent to help me." But she was desperate. And the man got out of his car and asked if he could help. She said, "Yes, my daughter is very sick. I must get home to her. Please, can you use this hanger to unlock my car?" The man said, "Sure." He walked over the car, and in seconds, the car was open. She hugged the man, and through her tears, she said, "Thank you so much. You are a very nice man." And the man replied, "Lady, I am not a nice man. I just got out of prison for car theft." So the woman hugged the man again and cried out, saying, "Thank you, God, for sending me a professional." God's presence is everywhere and unlikely places and unlikely people. And especially during this time of the pandemic, Jesus is present in the sick, the grieving, the lonely, the hungry, and the homeless, and the poor. Yes, it can be in very unlikely persons, like the professional car thief story. Jesus can be be any one of us. By our kind words and caring and compassionate actions, especially to others in need. Amen.